I don't know about you, but I have great sympathy for the disciples in today's gospel. Why are you terrified? There was a storm. The waves were breaking over the boat, about to swamp it. We were going to sink and die. That seems like a pretty good reason to be terrified. And even the slightly passive-aggressive tone of the disciples' question, I think I can understand as well. Don't you care that we are perishing? He's sleeping through it. And if you've ever been in a situation where you are massively concerned and anxious and stressed out about something, and someone else is just perfectly calm and floating above it all, you know how immensely aggravating that is. But I think the thing that gives me the most sympathy for the disciples is the fact that what they hear back from Jesus is, "Do you not yet have faith?" I'm thinking, how are they supposed to know already? We're in chapter 4 of Mark. How are they supposed to know that you can calm the wind and the storm and the seas? You haven't done it yet. This is the first time. What exactly are they supposed to have faith in already? Because it can seem like this gospel is suggesting that the proper attitude for the disciples to have had in the face of the storm and the waves that were crashing into the boat and about to swamp it was to simply sit there peacefully and passively and think, it's all going to be okay. And quite frankly, that seems ridiculous. The other reason that I have sympathy for the disciples, especially this week, is because there are times this week, and particularly since hearing the news of Charleston, where I have felt a desire myself, I think many of us have, to cry out to God, "Where are you? Are you asleep? Don't you see that we are perishing?" There's this seeming absence of God's care, seeming absence of God's presence, this seeming storm of violence, of hatred, that rages up, and we ask, what are we supposed to do with this? Are we supposed to just have faith? To pat ourselves on the back and say it'll all be all right eventually? Because that doesn't seem like a good answer. And that doesn't seem like the answer that God can possibly be calling us towards. Let me instead suggest that if the disciples go wrong anywhere in this gospel, where they go wrong is that they ask Jesus, not that they wake up Jesus, that I think is perfectly justified, but where they go wrong is that they think, or they allow themselves to say, they get trapped into this cycle of almost recrimination, where they accuse Jesus of not caring, where they say, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" And when he asks them, "Do you not yet have faith?" it's not just a question about, "Do you not yet recognize that I can command the wind and the waves?" But he's asking them, "Have you not heard already that I care? Have you not heard already that in my presence, in my preaching of the kingdom, the Father's care, the Father's mercy, the Father's saving help is here in person? Do you not yet have faith in that?" And having faith in that, I don't think, looks like sitting quietly in the boat and just presuming that everything's going to be okay. Having faith in that, I do think, looks like knowing that Jesus cares, and looks like rousing Jesus not with an accusation, but with words of hope. And I think we have an example of that as well. It turns out, at least from the initial testimonies of those who were present, that at the shooting in Charleston, what happened is that the shooter first came to the Bible study that they were holding that night and stayed through apparently almost an hour of Bible study. And at least in one of the accounts that I read, it seems that the passage that they were looking at actually comes from earlier in the fourth chapter of Mark, one of the parables of the kingdom, one of the things that Jesus had taught that day before they got in the boat to cross to the other side. Someone sat in that church sharing the scriptures and then got up and took out a gun and made the claim that his hate was more powerful than the love of God. And yet what we saw only a few days later were the family members, the fellow church members of those who had been killed, speaking about their loss, but also speaking about their hope of forgiveness, speaking about their hope that the one who had killed the ones they loved would repent, would find a way to ask for forgiveness and to turn his life over to God. The church in which that Bible study was held, the church in which they were shot, has been burned down before in racial violence. One of the oldest black churches in the country, it has been subject any number of times to persecution, and it still stands. Do you not yet have faith? That faith, I think, doesn't look like the simplistic assurance that everything will be right because God's on our side. What that faith looks like instead is faith that God's care and that the power of love is stronger than the power of hate. What that faith looks like is faith that when we go to God, we don't have to say, "Why don't you care?" But instead, we go to God and we see in God's response the strength for us to know that eventually the wind and the waves will be calmed, to know that we will reach the far side, to know that that church in Charleston, to know that our own faith in God will stand on the other side. That doesn't call us to passivity. That doesn't call us to sitting down and doing nothing. Rather, it calls us to action where we call on God in hope rather than in despair. It calls us to action where we say to God, "We know that you care," rather than, "Do you not care?" And if we know that God cares, then we can find the strength not simply to be afraid of the wind and the waves, but to hold the tiller steady while we're waking God up. To hold the tiller steady while we're waking each other up, while we're hearing the call, even through something as terrible as the violence in Charleston, to a new dialogue, to a new hope, to deeper conversion. That while we're doing all that, we wait in hope in God. We wait in profound trust that God's care and God's presence is with us. I hope that as our nation looks at these events, that we see not only the tragedy of someone who thought that hate was more powerful than love, but we also see the hope, the profound faith of those who got up the next day, began to mourn their loved ones, and began to pray also for his forgiveness and repentance.